Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost. I love Him, and He loves me, and we love each other. The Lord loves me. I love the Lord. When you're in the presence of the Lord, you just love the Lord, and you love everybody. Everybody is important. When I see people of potential. Everybody has potential, and I want people to know what God can do. Every time the Lord do something that's wonderful in my life, I desire that for everybody. And I remember when some things that I learned from the Lord, I wanted everybody to know it. Sometimes we've been talking about entering into a new glories and why people shun going to the next glory. And what happens when you enter the next glory? Well, when everything was so new to me, remember something, in 1983 I got saved. In 1982 I didn't know that you could walk and talk with the Lord. In 1983 when I got saved, I didn't know that you could walk. I thought you just get saved and do the best you can, read the word, you know, having a relationship. People still don't teach about relationship much, and here it is 2022. But I started meeting people, you know, that had a relationship with Him. Now I want to say this: the people, you know, we all on one planet, but people deal with people in their circle. And every group or circle of people, it's like another world. I want to explain that. You got some people that thrive on sports. So they like to go to a sports bar. They like to go to games. They love to go to those that can afford to go to all the NFL games or, you know, or college games or even high school games that they can. They love sports. That's their world. Then you got people that love God. They go to church. And among the people that love to go to church, you got different factions, different types. You got denominational churches like Methodists and Baptists and Episcopalian and Lutheran or Catholic. And you got people, you got churches where mostly older people go, and you got churches where mostly younger people go. You got full gospel churches, and then you got those that are and Word of Faith churches, and Church of God in Christ churches. You got different types of full gospel churches. All right, so what I want to share is this. Wherever the word is taught, eventually people are going to start seeing miracles. And that provides us with a circle that's unique to everyone else. It's not restricted to age, so you got older people that enjoy the miracles of God and having a relationship. And they go to the right church, you have younger people that enjoy miracles and having a relationship with the Lord. Parents teach their children sometimes. And you have young people that are outstanding because of the knowledge of the Lord. Just like Paul told Timothy, he talked about the gifts that was first found in his grandmother Lois. So listen, then you got the atheist group, and I'm sure you got different types of atheists. And then you got people, agnostics, and people that are scientists. And people gravitate to their persuasions. So in a neighborhood, on one street, you may have several different types of people. But in the neighborhood, as they get to know each other, you know, they become friends, or their children become friends. Now, this is where the worlds collide. See, people that don't ordinarily go to church, they'll go to a football game. So the children become friends with the neighbors, and the neighbors get acquainted. And one day, if you're a Christian, your child is going to be in this play, and they invite their neighbors' friends. And so the neighbors come to see the play. Now they're entering into another realm, and it's just like entering another world. And then, after the play is over, the pastor gives words of encouragement, and he prays for the sick. Let's say he prays for, and they might witness somebody actually get healed. God might even do a miracle. And the family that came with your children, they might even be atheists or agnostics or scientists. And they see somebody's leg that was short gets longer right before their eyes. Or they see a cancer, somebody healed of cancer. Or they may see somebody get healed and just feel better. Now what happens? They got introduced to something they knew nothing about. The love of God, when we follow God, we become operatives in the things of God. When he moves, when he calls a young person to speak far beyond their years, or an old person to give knowledge that's just so irresistible you can't shake it. Or when you see people work miracles, this is fascinating. In 1982, having a relationship with God wasn't a thing. My parents were pastors, but I didn't know the Lord. See, the Methodist people are one. They are in the move of God. They love God and they have a relationship with God. Now here I am. I'm a grown man. I didn't know that God would talk to you. I didn't know this. And my mother told me some things that the Lord told her about me when I was a child. When they moved, one reason she moved is because she didn't want me around alcoholism. The Lord said, get that boy out of the village. And I'm 3 years old. And so they moved to the neighborhood I grew up in. And see, our community was actually a family community, but people drink in the village. And she got me out of that environment before it was too late. The Lord told her this. Now, I didn't know this till I was grown and I had a relationship with the Lord myself. Then my dad told me this. I was talking to him about how God had talked to him. He said, I know. That's how I get my messages. But they didn't tell me that God would talk to you. Methodist people and Baptist people, they enjoy miracles too. But the thing that they do, they know that they don't like to go around and say God said something. But see, anybody that draw near to the Lord, guess what's going to happen? He's going to draw near to you. It doesn't matter which kind of church you go to. If you really love God, one day he's going to give you a dream or something. He's going to tell you something that makes a huge difference in your life. He's going to give you instructions that you just can't shake. And he was calling my dad to the ministry from the time he was a young teenager. He actually joined World War II running from the Lord. And a lady met him on the bus and said, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to come back home. And he told me about it. Now, I didn't know in 1982 that God would talk to people, because my parents didn't tell me some of the things that the Lord told them throughout their lives. And my aunt used to have dreams that came true. Nobody told me these things. But one day at the grocery store, thank God for Mom Powell. This was a godly lady. You could see God in her countenance. And she made me feel welcome to talk to her. And I would help her to her groceries, and she broke the word of God down to me where I could understand it. And she would tell me about conversations that she had with the Lord. Now, that was what really inspired me to go to the Pentecostal churches, holiness churches, because they were not they were vocal about what about the Holy Spirit and how the Lord would deal with you. So she told me some conversations that she had, and I wanted that so much. I wanted to be able to relate to God and God relate to me things. So at the end of 1983, I was inspired to, I wanted the Holy Spirit. And I received the Holy Spirit in November. And that summer of 83, when I met Mom Powell, or the fall, the summer toward the fall, she made me really want to seek God, because I wanted that kind of relationship. But in my Methodist mind, I didn't want to do something wrong, because I didn't know how to draw near to the Lord like I learned to later on. Now, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by November of 1983. So in 1984, I knew that you could pray and go. I learned to go in God's presence, and he would tell me things from time to time, but very seldom. So telling somebody that God told you something, that could mean a lot of different things according to how they've been taught and groomed and how they understand things. So as I grew and learned, by 87, the Lord called me to the ministry. And that was the year I asked him, that spring of 87, I asked him to teach me how to love his people. Now, he taught me so many, like I always talk about, so I'm going to skip all that now. But I entered into one glory. The first glory to me was salvation. I had been around the church, but now I'm in the church. I'm saved. Then the next glory was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the next glory was learning the things of God in a new way. I had been learning all my life some things, here a little and there a little, but now I was learning more. And then relationship was another glory. And then greater revelations was a greater glory. And then dialoguing with the Lord, talking back and forth, and he answering me as I talked to him. Now that began to happen in 1991. More and more. More so. And when the Lord would give me things, you know, I used to, he anointed me to write. Now, the writing gift, I used to tell people he anointed me to write. Actually, that's the gift of prophetic utterance. But as he gave me prophetic utterance, instead of me speaking it, I would write it down. That's where that gift, that's a gift. So when he gave me that gift, it started out with me writing. So when I would ask the Lord something, and then I would write down what he was giving me in utterance. Instead of speaking, I would write. I didn't know. It was new to me. I didn't know for years that the gift was prophetic utterance. And this is how I found out. I was at Pratt City LOH one day, and the pastor called on me to speak, see if God had given me something. So in the first stages of this, he would give me something, a short word of encouragement, or a word of prophetic, it would be a word of encouragement, basically. And I'd write it down. But it came through the gift of prophetic utterance. Now, this went on for about a month or so, and then one day the Lord gave me too much to write. So when I picked up my notebook, I forgot all of it. And I said, "Lord, you got to give that back. He's going to ask me if I have anything. And you just gave me a paragraph that I can't remember." And then it dawned on me, I just knew in my heart, the Lord want me to speak it this time. So I put the notebook down right beside me. I just put it back down, and everything came back. I said, "Well, wait a minute, Lord, that's too much to remember." He said, "Just speak the first part and the rest will flow." And I did exactly what God said. I spoke the first part, and the rest just flowed. Guess what I had done? I had entered into another glory. Because in my mind, the writing gift was, I was anointed to write. I didn't know that it was prophetic utterance. That's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of prophecy. So one of the gifts of prophecy is prophetic utterance. So he gave me that gift. And now, so after that day, every time he called on me, I spoke the word as God gave it. And I did that there. I stayed at that church until 9:10. On 9:10, I had that was my last Sunday at that church. That was 2001, September the 10th. And then September the 9th. September 11th is when, the towers fell. But it was my last Sunday at that church was the Sunday before September 11th. Now, when that happened, I would speak the words in those days. That was, I had entered into a new glory. To me, it was a new glory because God, it was a graduation. You know, whenever God have you doing something you never done before, you entered into a new glory. So it had been several months before, that my last Sunday there, but that's how God introduced it to me. Nobody taught me about these things. The gifts just came. Just like the gift of discerning of spirits and the gift of a word of wisdom. Those are the three gifts that operate in my ministry. The Lord speaks to me a word of knowledge, and then I give people a word of wisdom at his command. So when you enter into a new glory, it's some people can relate to it while others can't. Some people would be interested, just like I was. Mom Powell was walking in that inner glory, and I was interested. So she opened the door for me to come and understand. I partook of what she was partaking of. And so when other people said things, it helped me to grow and graduate in the glories of God. Now, sometimes people rebel. Sometimes people are slow to enter a new glory, or they see somebody much younger enter into a glory that they haven't entered into. But if they're foundational, and especially if they're humble, they can benefit and they can be introduced to greater things. Now, this happens throughout the body of Christ. That's why it's so important. One scripture says that iron sharpens iron, or deep calls to deep. When I see people walking in a glory that I know nothing about, I automatically become the student, and they are my teacher. That's what happened when I learned about Henry Groover. Now, in Sunday school, the same thing happened when I learned about Lester Sumrall. Same thing happened before all this when I started listening to Kenneth Hagin. I started listening to Kenneth Hagin mostly after I became a minister myself and started preaching. Now, I knew about Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland in the early 80s. And I used to love to listen to them. And Jimmy Swaggart, I would watch him every Sunday. And Billy Graham when I could. And my mother used to love to watch Robert Shuler. And, Robert Shuler made statements that helped me stand. He would always say, every time I watched him, every Sunday, he'd say, tough times never last, but tough people do. And man, that statement helped me gird up my loins, gird up the loins of my mind in a storm. I said, I'm going to weather this. I'm going to come out of this. I didn't know how in the world I was going to make it. But I said, I'm going to make it out of this mess. And that helps you go to another glory. New glories are always available. When God gave me messages, and the way I had organized my ministry, the way I would preach only what God gave, and I wouldn't deviate, and I didn't add to or subtract from it. Once I said what God gave me, I'd end it. I'd close. I didn't preach long at first, And as I understood more, and as God gave me more, I began to preach a little over 20 minutes, then 30, then 45. But most time when I preach, if I preach somewhere else, I didn't get but about 20 minutes anyway. So I learned to say a lot in a short amount of time because I love God's people and I wanted to share everything God gave me. And I tried to do my best. So when I was doing that, when I noticed that some of the things that Pentecostal churches taught, or the churches that we were affiliated with, whatever they taught, some things, some messages God never gave me that a lot of Pentecostal preachers preach. You know, they preach the dress code of women. They preach, baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost, of course, which is, I preach that. But these are the topics God never gave me. He never gave me a message against women preachers. He never gave me a message on how they need to dress. Like they used to tell women they couldn't wear pants. He never gave me a message saying they can't wear jewelry or makeup. He never gave me those things. He never gave me, it's a lot of things that people preach. He never gave me a message on it. And I started paying attention. And then when I preached at denominational churches, nine times out of 10, if a Pentecostal preach at a denominational church, they're going to preach the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? I said, I'm going to see how God does this thing. And I was preaching at my dad's church, first time I preached at a Methodist church after being called to the ministry. And the Lord didn't give me anything about the Holy Ghost. He said, the message was there's more about God that we must understand, but it was biblical things. And the Lord was talking to Methodist people like they were his people. So I learned from it, because the Pentecostal church that I happen to be a member of, they said, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not even saved. But God was talking to people that's Methodist that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, as if they were his people. So I noticed something here. I said something. We have missed something. And the word that God gave me was appropriate. It was covenant appropriate. See, sometimes people don't enter into that glory of being covenant appropriate. And they just parrot things that they were taught. Now, Pastor Jackson said this. He said that unbelief stems from lack of knowledge, wrong knowledge, and rebellion against knowledge. So if you're going to learn, you can't rebel against knowledge. And you can't promote wrong knowledge. The Holy Spirit will guide you. If he's here to guide us into all truth, there's no reason that we should deviate from it. And there's no reason we should stick to old dead doctrines that don't work. And, you know, a lot of things that people taught often, the Lord never had me to deal with it. You know, sometimes the message was against smoking and drinking. If I ever spoke a message, it really did. God never really gave me things about smoking and drinking. I taught against drinking. I taught how foolish it was for another illustration. But see, the Holiness Church, you can't play sports, you can't drink coffee, you can't drink beer, you can't drink wine, you can't smoke, you can't do drugs, which is common sense. But the Holy Spirit gave me things that people needed. And in some denominational churches, they do smoke and they do drink. Some people in moderation, some people know they're wrong. But the Holy Spirit gave me things that people needed. Not always the dogmas that people preach. So my preaching style was to preach what God give, and that's it. And I know that, you know, I have taught against drinking according to Scripture. One time I was ministering Isaiah 28, and it includes, the evils of being drunk. It didn't say that wine was wrong. It just drunk. You know, the illustrations, you know, being a drunk, the problems that it causes. You know, they wake up in their own vomit. That's wrong. Well, anyway, when you follow the path of the Holy Spirit, you're covenant appropriate, and you can minister life to people. And see, when you're mature that way, then the Lord will anoint you. And everybody that's anointed, they're also mature. People that are wild cards don't get anointed. They don't mature, and they don't enter into the next glory. But if they humble themselves, then yes, God will help them understand things in a greater way. Now, all the ministers that I listen to, they helped me to grow from the glory I was at to the glory that they were in. They helped me enter into new glories. And see, as long as you're hungry, it's easy to do. But people that reject knowledge when they know it's right, now that's when the judgment hammer falls. Because Romans said that the judgment comes to those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know better, but they do worse. They do wrong anyway. Now, in the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge," this is God talking, "I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Because see, when according to Jeremiah chapter 8, we see another problem that arises. When people get into, when they start doing the wrong thing, it always hardens your heart. The moment you start sinning, it starts working against your heart to harden it. And then your children will be raised by a person with a hard heart. And the next generation will be worse. To the point, in Jeremiah chapter 8, it said, "At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served." Now watch this. "And whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." Now just imagine this for a moment. They dig up the bones of the kings, the priests, the prophets, the servants, and the evil people. And these are dead bones. If they had to dig them up because of their debauchery, you know they went to hell. But but verse 3, it says, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family." So the descendants would choose death rather than life. That's terrible. Because God forgot their children, because they forgot the law. They rejected knowledge. He said, I read it again, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord. Moreover, thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then," now watch verse 5, "why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return." Now these are covenant people. That's why God asked the question. "Thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise?" Of course they will, because they are covenant people. And Isaiah also said, the same prophet that blinded them at the order of God, said that a tenth would remain and be received by God. They'll be eaten. You know, in chapter 5 was talking about grapes, how grapes represented the men of God. but they were wild grapes. But a tenth will remain and be received. So shall he turn away and not return. Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? God's going to always have a remnant that break through. But most of them, they turn. But see, the remnant, God can do something with. But he asked the question, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented himself of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knows her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Why? Because people reject knowledge. It's important not to reject the word of God. It's important to delve into the things of God, receive what God has to say, and not shun from the glory of God, loving evil. So this generation, what God has done, he's made a distinction between those that love him and those that truly don't. Consider these things, because the Lord's return is imminent. So be ready that you be not left, and be ready to be a servant to the Lord and be a blessing to others. Enter into the glories when other people don't. Because that makes the difference, my friend. God loves us so much, and He loves everybody, not just those that love Him, but those that don't, and even those that hate Him. He still loves them, but they need us to walk into the next glory. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.